Welcome to the Loveland Libcast, the official podcast of the Loveland Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Loveland Libcast. I'm here with Bryn, like usual, and we are talking today about Arabia by Reem Asil, and it is our Loveland Cookbook Group episode for April, and Bryn and I are just recording this moments after viewing the solar eclipse, and so we had folks from the...
Like a local astronomers group. Yeah. I'm not sure what the actual name of the organization is, but volunteer-based.
Yeah, and they had some large telescopes with filters so that you could view the sun. Did you get to see through the telescope?
I did, yeah, and it was the color was really deep red. Did you see it as well?
Yeah, and we've been given out solar eclipse glasses left and right at the library so folks can see it. So it's kind of a funny day because you don't think about how that light impacts your body as a biological creature, and it kind of does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it brings people together, you know, that like everybody's being curious about the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the book that we chose is a Arab cookbook of a woman who grew up in Massachusetts, I believe, actually, and her parents were Lebanese and Palestinian. And she runs a bakery in Oakland, and she kind of turned to food as a way to think about community and to think about her heritage, and started this bakery called Reem's California. So we chose this cookbook because the kits for this month will be out the day after the end of Ramadan celebration, which is typically a large feast of food after a month of fasting. And the recipe that we chose, which we'll talk about later, is quite a celebratory, somewhat elaborate recipe to eat with a group of people. This author, Reem, starts the book with an introduction about Arab hospitality. You know, I was reading that introduction, and what is really a story of resilience. I think that those things go hand in hand. Like, if you think about cultures that are particularly hospitable and welcoming, are often cultures that have had to ask that of others, or have had to have been displaced and have had to rely on the kindness of others, and then expect that of themselves for other people. Bryn, did you have any thoughts about this kind of intro? Thinking of identity through food, resilience.
Generosity,
yeah.
I think, comes with that hospitality and just how, you know, the story, she kind of goes through generations and just displacement that's occurred in her family and, of course, so many other people as well. And just how I think their culture and holding on to their culture carries them through those really difficult displacements, and also the entrepreneurship that, you know, continues to help people lift themselves up over and over again and the creativity that's required within that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm talking about because Reem is Palestinian, I'm thinking about that, but I think that is clear in all places where, I mean, you and I, Bryn, were talking about that that baker who is in Palestine, but who is baking in spite of and as a sort of form of,
yes,
she you was, know, resistance.
Yep. She, with very few ingredients, this was some months ago, and I think Instagram posts that she was offering, and she was living in tents and, you know, trying to make fire and just doing whatever she could to continue making bread, and was offering these Instagram videos of just her joyful perseverance. And I'm sure there was a lot more than just joy she was experiencing that moment, but that's what she felt compelled to share with people, is the ability to continue to feed her family and her efforts to do so and her successes.
Yeah. There's a story at the beginning of this book of Reem's grandmother, I believe, who ran out of lemons in middle of making something and had to run to a vendor while there was like war going on, you know, bombings going on. And she runs out and gets lemons and is running back. And everybody is like, what are you doing? Stay inside. And she ends up getting kind of knocked unconscious by, I don't know, a low plane or something happens. She gets knocked off her feet and gets knocked unconscious. And when she wakes up, she says something like, where are my lemons? Which is this, like, in the intro to this book, it's about this tenacity and entrepreneurship, but also just this resilience in the face mm-hmm. of kind of an unspeakable situation, and how that is just maybe a really deep human thing mm-hmm. is our ability to do what needs to be done. And in that moment, it was finish whatever recipe that had lemons in, you know, yeah. And people are still trying to live life. And that is so quintessentially human, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we chose the book
yeah.
as I think a little bit of a celebration of humanness, and I think this book is really emblematic of that. So let's talk about the book a little bit as a cookbook. Have you ever cooked this type of cuisine much before, Bryn?
I do love cuisine from this region, and so I was excited, and it was just a feast for the eyes too. There's so much color, and you can almost feel the flavor in the color, mm-hmm. I find.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like turmeric, that bright yes. yellow, you can sort of sense what that is. Yeah. yeah.
And just all the different spices that are featured everywhere, and the cultured products, cultured bread, cultured mm-hmm. dairy. Yeah. So it was just a feast. And I also liked how it was organized
yeah.
Because I think this cuisine, like many others, we've talked about Indian cuisine, mm-hmm. is just like oftentimes made of many parts that fit together and complement each other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not sort of the standard meat and potatoes, but many dishes that come together.
Yeah.
And it's structured in a way that you can pick
mm-hmm.
From complementary dishes. And we ate it. When we made the recipe, we kind of added some extra things like
yeah.
that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like little kind of condiments, salads,
yeah.
that type of thing, herby salads.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. I cook some of this food a little bit. My mom loves this cuisine, so she is always wanting to make some very simple version of this. I mean, nothing as elaborate as what we make for this kit. Were there any recipes that when you were flipping through, you thought that you might take a stab at?
Other than this one, nothing
yeah.
that comes, I kind of paged through it. There wasn't anything that I marked because I didn't have the cookbook for a super long time.
Yeah.
There is a lot in there. And in the story in it throughout it is really rich too.
Yeah.
You know, there's several different sections, and within each section, they're featuring a certain kind of aspect of the cuisine,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but there's also a story that goes along with
yeah.
one. So beginning with, for instance, they have spice mixes and snacks, and that's how to host. And
yeah.
then they talk about bread speak about, you know, the corner bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get the Arab table, which is kind of the mains and the things
yeah.
that you're inviting people into. And then they talk about vegetable roots. So it goes mm-hmm. on with that. And each time there's just quite a deep story embedded in each of the chapters along with the recipes. And so it's not a cookbook to like dip into lightly. It's
yeah.
one that really invites you to immerse yourself in it.
And something that she says in the beginning, she talks a little bit about how an easy way to control people is to strip them of their food identity. And so I think the thinking about not just the food, but the act of eating, the act of hosting, the act of thinking about it as a whole action rather than just food for a recipe is a way I think of she's reconnecting with her roots.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because in here that there are sometimes these recipes where the origin is contested.
Yeah.
I think we talked about the cookbook Jerusalem by Yoda Modolenghi, which he wrote with another Palestinian author. And they had kind of a more playful but earnest examination of who hummus belongs to.
Yeah, yeah.
And they kept it light, but underneath it there was actually, you know, some real live sort of tension in, you know, in a land where there are so many cultures that come together.
Yeah.
And then also just thinking about just like the land that's required to grow the ingredients for cultural foods and, you know, just when we strip the land of its fertility, that oftentimes our access to ingredients becomes
tenuous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I forgot to mention that Reem co-wrote this with her aunt, Emily Katz, who is a Jewish chef. And so it's sort of in that same trying to bridge conflict through understanding of and shared food culture.
Yeah.
Which I think is an honorable
thing
to try to be doing.
When I think too, part of what I was thinking about when we talked about that Instagram video of the woman making bread with, you know, almost nothing and celebrating that is that food is something that always unites us all.
Yeah.
And the need to cook is something that always unites all humans. And so I think, in the midst of war and just really profound conflict and violence, like it's good to, you know, that was sort of our motivation here is to dip into a cuisine and just remember that we're all sharing an eating and cooking experience.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the recipe itself. The recipe this month is mahluba, and sometimes that is spelled M-A-K-L-O-U-B-A. Reem spell replaces the K with a apostrophe, but apologies if I'm butchering that pronunciation, but basically what it is layered fried vegetables with spiced rice.
There's a lot of stages to make it happen. And then there's a big reveal.
Revealing. Yeah, exactly. There is a big reveal because you make it in a pot and then you flip it upside down so that the kind of caramelized, cooked, spiced veggies on the bottom are now on the top. And included in that kit is a 5-spice mix that has nutmeg, allspice, cumin, coriander, and cinnamon. And in the recipe itself, it calls for a spice mix that is in a different section of the book. And that spice mix uses whole spices that you kind of toast and then grind. And to make things simpler for everybody here, we just did pre-ground spices. But if you really like this flavor profile, I'm sure it is all the much more delicious to use the whole spices. Also in the front of the book, the spice mix is a 7-spice mix, and we are giving a 5-spice mix. And the book suggested that you could remove the cardamom and clove. So if you like this flavor profile, you should absolutely try it with the cardamom and clove. And so I made my version with just the 5-spice ground mix. But Bryn, did you do the whole spices?
I did the 7 spices, which I toasted and then ground up.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw, when I was actually looking for the pronunciation of the dish, I watched another video and she just simply cooked a broth. She made her stock for it.
Yeah.
And then included all the whole spices and just drained them out. So she infused the broth for a lengthy time with those spices, which I think might be the way if I were
almost
to make
easier.
It again, do it again. Yeah. Just into ground spice texture isn't always one that is like, it doesn't necessarily add anything.
Yeah.
And so I might try that next time.
Yeah. So what did you think of the recipe? Did you, who did you make it for? Since it's kind of a, you know, meant to be for a group. And what did you think of it? And what did they think of it?
We all really enjoyed it, but it was a process. And I did this one all by myself, unlike the dumplings where whole family was there. Yeah, we did invite my mom and a friend over. And so we did have kind of a celebration. And it's a good meal for that. It was a lot of food. Mm-hmm. And we have leftovers, mm-hmm. which is a big deal in our family. We have really hungry people. And so it does make a lot of food. And it's just beautiful. Our reveal was when we tipped over the pot, you know, you put the plate on the top and then you reverse it. And, you know, even in this cookbook and elsewhere where I've read, I've been kind of following this recipe over the years of just seeing it pop up over and over again. You know, they talk about, you know, if you're lucky, you know, everything will kind of fall into place. And when I tipped the pan over, it made this whoa sound.
Oh, you could tell.
And so I knew that it released.
Yeah, exactly.
As it should. Yeah.
And did it stand up?
It did stand up pretty well. My plate wasn't big enough, so one corner of it fell off. But otherwise, yeah, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, mine was stood up, but I had somehow ended up with far too much water. I think I had a skinny, deep pot
mm-hmm.
rather than like a wider, shallower right. one. And I think if you have between the two options, if you have multiple kind of Dutch ovens, a wider, shallower would have been better because I didn't have enough water to cover all of the rice. So I had to add more water. And then it took a long time to cook off the extra water. But I thought it was really tasty. Mm-hmm. I didn't fry my vegetables either. And you were saying that you thought maybe you might have added more vegetables.
Yeah, I think I would have. And I wonder too if by roasting, I think I could have cut them thicker maybe.
Mm.
By roasting, it just felt like they got they maybe lost more moisture than they would have otherwise, you know, if you'd fried them. So they felt less plump maybe than I would have expected.
Do you think you'd make it again?
Yeah, I think we definitely will. Not something that we'll make often, but the other thing that we loved is she suggested, she had a recipe for this mint and cucumber salad. And we make a lot of cucumber salads with yogurt whenever we do Indian cuisine or anything that's really aromatic. Oftentimes we'll do that just for that sort
break
of balancing. And that was,
really good.
I'm glad I made a lot of that because we all of us dolloped enormous amounts of that on the side. And then we made a green salad with tomatoes and Greek olives. And and so just kind of, I find I always need something a little acidic
fresher.
And fresh to go with these meals that have kind of those really dense, delicious, but really full kind of flavored spices like those that are featured here.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So in our last month before summer learning, which will be a big endeavor at the library, and we'll give you updates next month about what's coming in the teen hangout and what's coming for adults for summer learning. And next month, what we'll be talking about to get your palates ready is Fresh Midwest. And we're going to be doing cardamom, coffee, sweet bun, kind of bun things, knotted buns. So it's a very different flavor profile, although cardamom is still, there's some crossover, but that book itself is quite different and a little closer to home. And will be really fun. I don't think we've done a Midwest cookbook yet on the podcast. So
it'll probably be relevant to a lot of people. Yeah.
So, thank you so much for chatting with me about this really beautifully colorful, spicy, full of flavor recipe and cookbook. And I love talking with you.
It's always a joy. I'm grateful to be here.
Okay. Bye. See ya.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Loveland Libcast. If you'd like to contact us about the podcast, please reach out to Daniel at daniel.tate@cityofloveland.org. That's daniel.tate@cityofloveland.org. See you next time.